Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
A Bit of a Mouthful is super proud to partner with Intrepid. Intrepid's small group food trips connect you with a local leader and a group of folks into food and travel, just like you.
It's not just food trips either. Check out their full range of trips at intrepidtravel.com.
Intrepid, good trips only.
Before you tuck into this lovely podcast, you may be warned that there are words that you may not wish to hear. Some of these words may be a little sweary, so if you have a toddler nearby, place them in a different room and remove any elderly people from the nearby area. These words may include, but not be limited to...
Black pepper is Harry Styles, cream rises to the top over time.
And this bag of ginger has just gone from being one massive knob of ginger to lots and lots of ginger knobs in there.
Why are they separate brands for cold chalky milk and hot chalky milk?
And I fucking hate small glasses in an establishment to be used with water. I'm a thirsty boy.
Stop saying baked beans! Why do they have to feature?
Don't talk with your mouth full unless you're talking about food, in which case it's useful. And that's just what we're about to do. It's all deep with me and Michael, and they're culinary tips so vital.
That tastes great.
But it's a bit of a mouthful.
So before we get started, I just want to do a quick tummy audit. I just want us to go around the room and just describe how our tummies are feeling.
This is what happens at the beginning of my therapy every week. My therapist is like, how's your body feeling coming into this session?
I feel this is quite directed at me.
Well, you have no idea what's going on in my stomach right now.
Are you all right?
My tummy's fine. My tummy's fine. Yeah. Oh, no what? Notes. No
as
notes.
You know, mine's okay as well.
Yeah, well.
How you doing? Yeah, mine's fucked.
Well, there we go.
It's been fucked for weeks. I did a load of blood tests yesterday. So touch wood.
He's all good.
All good.
So everyone send in your best wishes to the Instagram.
Thanks. By the time this airs, I'll probably be dead. So that's good, isn't it?
Well, there you go. Send your condolences to me and Soph on the Instagram.
We will be in mourning.
Who are they going to sub in?
What's that post going to be like?
Who are we going to sub
on
in?
On this week's episode, no. Will died.
Oh, no.
What a shame. But Will, we hope you have a speedy recovery. And
Wine's going to help.
The wine's definitely going to help.
The booze will help.
And yeah, I guess we should get on with the bloody podcast.
What we had for dinner last night.
Michael.
Yes.
You know when we do this podcast, mm-hmm. This one, a bit of a mouthful.
This, yeah.
You know at the beginning of that podcast, we like to check in, you know, make sure that you had a substantial meal the night before. Mm-hmm. What did you have for dinner last night?
I've done it two times in a row. I've actually made something.
Yeah.
No, it was a bit of a cheat. It was a bit of a cheat. But I think this is like... the layman's cooking. Okay. There was a pouch of like pre-made goodness involved. You know when you're in the office and then someone's like, we've got a lot of like lamb ribs we need to get rid of because they're going out of date.
Life in the mob office. Yeah. What a dream.
I've not had that.
Yeah, well, it happened to me. Boy, did it happen to me.
A lot of lamb ribs.
A big like tub of Waitrose lamb ribs.
Were they cooked already?
No, raw.
Okay.
Raw. And then I got
what
home.
What were they doing with lamb ribs?
I don't
Doesn't
know.
Doesn't matter. What Doesn't did you matter. Do with lamb ribs?
Yeah.
I got home and I sort of seasoned them up and I stuck them all in the slow cooker overnight.
Oh.
Problem with slow cooker. Good for slow cooking things. Bad for keeping your flat smelling morning like in the morning. Because I woke up in the morning.
Lamb really
the
filters
entire
through.
Flat, it was stinky.
That pongs.
Yeah.
What did you put on them though? Because obviously it's quite important that we understand what you put on them.
I think it was just a bit of like salt, pepper, in some other bits.
Yeah, no, obviously what you've done there is you've said the two main ones, right? Those ones don't really count.
Yeah.
I imagine the other bits. Globally, so did we go in?
So I didn't know which direction I was going in. I was like, I'm just going to put these in the slow cooker and I'm going to put them in the freezer. So I think I put some cumin.
Yeah. That takes you lots of places to be.
Yeah, and maybe some cayenne pepper.
Ooh,
or
okay.
Cayenne.
Oh, is that we're the same going thing? To cayenne Mexico, pepper, cayenne,
a bit
are
spicy.
We?
Yeah. Anyway, cooked it overnight, stuck it in, like, took all the bones out, tried to get, like, the fatty bits out where I could, stuck it in the freezer. That was a while ago. That wasn't last night. Yeah.
Plot
a couple
twist.
Of days ago,
oh
I took them
gosh.
Out of the freezer. And I let them thaw. That was an important part of this whole cooking journey. I then cooked them and I like fried them down and I sort of let
was
them
it,
like,
this
pull
was
apart.
Just the meat, no bone.
Yeah. Just the meat. Oh no, actually, so I sort of like pulled it before I put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
Put it in the pan, sort of like fried it off a little bit. And then I had one of those Spice Tailor's beef Massaman curry mix things where
yeah,
I had like the
yeah,
pouch
yeah.
of like the dried like chili and the bits, and then like a what would you call that? Like a base sauce and then a finishing sauce. And I mixed it all together and it was just, and then I skimmed those. I couldn't believe how much fat was in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Lamb belly, lamb ribs.
And then I just ended up with the most delicious sort of curry vibe thing.
That sounds
amazing.
It
was really good. I wish I'd done it from scratch, but I do think sometimes people that put things in packets do it.
You're
really
a numbers guy.
Well. I'm a numbers.
We know you're a numbers guy. You're the beating robotic heart of this podcast.
Exactly.
Did you just call him a robot?
Yeah, I didn't call him a robot. I just said
for me it's all about high yield, low effort.
About, the thing about a robotic heart, okay, is that it is it's on the bounce, you know.
Yeah,
you're consistent, and that is important.
Exactly.
Leave the not
I leave the creativity
well,
to this guy.
I batch cooked.
I was going to say both of us, maybe.
This
there,
end
actually.
Of the table.
You're the one with the fucking book. I just say silly words.
I froze stuff. I slow cooked stuff. I batch cooked stuff.
Yeah.
I used
and you
a packet.
Freeze stuff.
I did the whole thing.
Did you use? Were you cooking for
three
any...
dinners that lasted me? Maybe
was that,
four.
Was that three? That was three dinners.
Maybe four dinners.
But you did you have the same dinner for each one, like with the same sides?
I actually had one in like a wrap.
Yeah,
last
I was going to say that's
I
got
had,
a wrap written all over
last
it.
Last night I had it with just rice and I had a roti as well. It was just a whole frozen, those frozen rotis in the purple packet.
They're good.
The frozen paratas. Elite. Frozen paratas.
That's exactly what I meant.
The flaky ones.
Yeah.
They
ones.
Are the best things to have in your freezer.
100%.
Ever.
Apart from dumplings.
Apart from dumplings. I mean, you always have to have both. And peas.
And ginger.
And fish fingers.
Ginger in the freezer because then you get the microplane. I learned it off that Lagom chef guy on TikTok.
Very clever.
Very, very clever man. Does lots of food waste stuff. And he keeps his ginger and I think sometimes garlic and sometimes chili. In a freezer bag.
See the grated chili.
In the freezer, and then it's literally just like. Because ginger, that, goes, ginger
me,
goes
for
off
my robotic
so
heart.
Quick.
That sounds.
It gets very fibrous very quickly.
It goes fibrous, it goes off fast, it gets janky. If you stick. I'm not even joking, there's bits of ginger in my freezer where like my housemates be like, oh, I'm making a curry. I don't know that Will keeps the ginger in the freezer. And they'll buy more ginger. And this bag of ginger has just gone from being one massive knob of ginger to lots and lots of ginger knobs in there. And so there's just unlimited ginger. And there's honestly, I reckon over a year there's been ginger in there that I still use.
Wow.
Also, when it's frozen, for some reason, I don't give a fuck about the skin. I'll just bang the skin in.
No.
Yeah.
So. These are free hacks that we're giving out. We're just giving these out.
I mean, credit where credit's due. I did get it off.
I feel like I was banging on about freezer aid dinner a couple of episodes ago as well. I'm very much
you
in
were.
My thrifty, shoving tiny portions of things in the freezer and coming out with magical dinners.
I think you probably inspired Miguel.
Yeah, you did.
On that one.
I felt fully inspired.
You're welcome.
I thought, what
You're
would
welcome.
Sophie do?
Can I ask one question? How long were the lamb ribs in the freezer for? Before you decided to use
them? A few weeks, a couple of weeks.
Oh, fine. But the people are always just like, 3 months. Keeps in there for 3 months.
Yeah,
who
lies,
actually knows?
Lies.
I don't think shit goes off in the freezer.
I've pulled some pretty rank salmon fillets out of freezer before, but I think they'd been in there for years.
Fish.
Years.
Okay, I'd go back on what I'm saying.
Okay.
Fish goes off in the freezer because it goes stinky. I've had this pack of prawns, right, that I used for a prawn mayo sandwich like a while ago. I was like, I'm not going to use all of them. I'll freeze the rest of them. They've been in the freezer. My housemates keep getting really pissed off at me because they stink. I've just thrown them away after a few months. Oh, I'm going to put them in a stir fryer or something. Never did.
And every time you open the freezer.
Absolutely hums. Ooh. Absolutely. My ginger smells of prawns. Anyway, unimportant. So what did you have for dinner last night? And why have you got 2 pints of water? Where's... One of these is for Michael.
I'm very parched.
Yeah, please, we've got all kinds of...
How did I do that?
We're actually, Michael, sorry, let me fill up your wine. We're actually getting pissed during this episode, guys.
We haven't done that for ages.
The red wine's back.
We haven't done it for ages. It was really hot when we got in as well, and Michael was about to be really silly throughout the whole podcast, but we thought if we just get him some wine. But we've got a lovely little bottle of wine here.
And it's bloody gorgeous.
Maybe this is a new feature. What wine
are we drinking right now? You guys guess, and one day it will be Buckfast, but you'll probably be able to tell.
Why don't we do a little sip test? I'll do a sip and we rate it out of 5.
Okay, yeah.
That's a sippy... That wine sips.
Honestly, I absolutely love that. Yeah. That's like a really tip-top red wine for me.
That goes down like a fat kid on a Cecil.
I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to merge podcasts here. Are we going to get in trouble for drinking wine on a podcast? Because that feels like a...
Yeah, Hannah Crosby's going to sue your ass.
Crosby's going to get
She's coming for you.
Anyway, what did you have for dinner last night, Soph?
What I had for dinner is actually quite topical related to other things we're going to talk about in this episode. I had a really nice aubergine curry.
Wow.
Which I've decided, because I don't know if you guys get this, you specifically will, when you make all your own recipes all the time.
I don't get that.
I feel like I really rarely cook other people's recipes. And I'm trying to now... like take recipe books off my shelf a bit more, because I've got so many books. I've got over 100 recipe books, and I feel like I never cook other people's recipes anymore.
I don't.
And you actually learn so much cooking other people's recipes. Yeah. So I'm trying to make more of a concerted effort to do it occasionally now.
Do you, like, whenever you cook a dinner, regardless of how easy it is, do you just call it like that's one of my recipes? Like if you make beans on toast.
Oh yeah,
That's a new Sophie classic. That's one of the Sophie basics. Beans on toast.
Well, we have discussed the ways in which beans on toast do get pimped out, and if you're pimping out beans on toast,
then TM Sophie.
No, but I think like maybe I make loads of recipes, but I'm just not a food creator, so I just
you used a packet mix to season the lamb ribs that you took from the mob office.
Yeah, you've already exposed yourself.
And then you told us the 4 things that you put on that, and one of them was salt, and the other was pepper. Yes, it sounds delicious and simple.
Hey, I cooked a paratha that came straight out of the freezer.
Well,
that was
gorgeous.
Did it smell of prawns?
No.
Ugh, rubbish. Not.
What I mean is, though, most meals that I eat are meals I've cooked earlier in the day for work purposes. I'm rarely just like freestyling in an evening.
Oh, because you make food as a job and then you have food to eat.
So I have so much food to eat. So now I'm like, right, I'm going to make an effort to cook food that's not my food.
Yeah.
So last night I cooked an aubergine curry from the Hoppers cookbook.
Oh,
which was very delicious.
That sounds relevant.
Hoppers being a Sri Lankan restaurant.
Hoppers being a Sri Lankan restaurant. They got a few in London. I think they got some other places now as well.
I've been to two branches.
It is good. I've been to just the Soho one.
It's a good time.
Tegan and I were off to see The Whale. that's the film we were off to see. She was like, oh, we'll go and eat here, right? And I was like, where? And she was like, oh, I don't know, anywhere. It's 3:00. Everywhere will be open. I'm like, it's 3:00. Nowhere will be fucking open. It's Saturday. They're all closed for like after lunch, before dinner service. She was like, no, it'll be fine. So we got there. The queue for Koya was huge. So I was like, I'm not going there. But then we wandered into Hoppers and had the nicest meal. Like, you know when you really... it's not that I had low expectations of Hoppers. I just was like,
no expectations.
I was just like, nowhere's open. Like, okay,
and
this
is
open.
You had the queue for Core. You didn't have to queue
for Hoppers.
We're going to
go in here. And I'd not really read too much about it. One of the nicest meals I've had in Soho.
It's really good.
Yeah.
The aubergine curry, though. What was in that?
Well, yeah, it had loads of curry leaves and lemongrass and dried chilies and coconut milk, some tamarind paste.
Ooh. Quite tart.
Quite tart. Mm. Quite sour, very yummy. Mm. The book is great if you like Sri Lankan food.
I have that
if you
book,
like
actually.
Loaded like
it's
spicy,
got
coconutty.
Got pride of place on my recipe book holder. I've never used it, but it's there.
What recipe book have you used? Big Cook, Little Cook, the novel.
Honestly, there's a beautiful porridge in that book. So easy, so delicious.
Bit of cinnamon.
I shit you not, there used to be a recipe I was obsessed with on Big Cook, Little Cook, because my sister used to watch Big Cook, Little Cook, and it was when I was probably like 10 and too old to be watching it. But I absorbed it, and I made, this is all coming back to me now, so delicious, a giant mushroom stuffed with cottage cheese.
Wow.
And I used to make it for my parents as a dinner party.
Cottage cheese?
Yeah, it does sound very
That sounds fucking horrible.
That's far off.
Giant mushroom stuffed and you left a pause as well.
That doesn't sound right. I actually want to see if I can find this recipe on the internet.
Blue cheese, I could understand.
Big cook.
Sophie was really bulking at the time. She was big in the gym. She was like, how do I get this protein 10, in?
Jesus Christ.
The protein.
I need to find out what was in
cottage
this recipe.
Cheese is fucking weird.
I don't think I've ever eaten cottage cheese on purpose.
Cottage cheese.
No, it's really horrible.
If you've spent any time on Gaines Talk, you'll know that cottage cheese is big for the old gym bros.
I've been told by my personal trainer, because I'm a big gym guy now, that's me, that
that yogurt has got
more protein in it than like almost any other thing, like per 100 grams.
Yeah,
it's really good, the protein one, I'm assuming. But
why not the normal one?
Just regular.
Well, I don't know, maybe it is the normal one. I don't know how it works. I don't know if they have a protein one.
Maybe we should get her on.
I honestly think the problem with cottage cheese is the texture of it, and the fact that in sex ed in school they describe like nasty things as being cottage cheese.
Which
then means that anytime you say like, well, that I don't want to eat something.
I wasn't thinking about that. Now
I
am.
Well,
this is a food podcast, and now I'm thinking about thrush.
Well, I can't. You know, I can't talk about cottage cheese without talking about thrush. You know. How could I?
That's so true.
But the mushrooms and cottage cheese don't sound that great retrospectively, so I hope you don't cook.
But the aubergine curry sounds
really nice.
Sorry, just to reel it back in.
Yeah, reel it back to where she was. Yeah, the Hopper's Cookbook is really great. If you like Sri Lankan food, go get it.
Yeah, I'll make sure to open it.
What did you have for dinner, Willie?
I bought a sirloin steak, so that I could make a steak sandwich the other day. I was going to just do a classic with some caramelized red onions, maybe with lots of Bovril in them. And I thought maybe some sort of horseradishy mayonnaise.
Do you remember my beef sandwich? Sounds like you've copied me.
Is that what was in yours?
No.
I like putting blue cheese in a steak sandwich.
No, remember I
do as well. People say,
a stinky brie.
I think blue cheese and steak is delicious. Some people say it's naff, and I say
the thing
shut
is
up.
About people is that often they're very wrong. But I had, as I said earlier in the podcast, I've been having some stomach issues, and a doctor yesterday told me like, maybe avoid dairy for a bit. Mm-hmm. So if I end up being lactose intolerant, I'll be so upset. But that's besides the point.
Let's take it a day at a time.
Fucking wine, try and forget about it.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Will.
But anyway, I was like, okay, I've got this steak. And then I ended up having to go to the doctor's yesterday around lunchtime. And I was there for like 2 hours because I had to do these tests or whatever. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to go home and cook myself a steak sandwich. So I went to Sainsbury's. I got another steak. And then for me and my two housemates, I sliced all the steak up. I like doing like stir fry like noodles with slices of like a nice-ish steak.
Yeah.
If you're going to buy a steak from a butcher's, a good one's going to cost you like 10 quid. That's just how it is. A big, thick steak is going to cost you like 10 quid. Supermarket steak is going to cost you like a fiver. Also, you can make it last between like two people. But I got an extra one just so there was lots of steak. Fried it up.
I have an important food-related question. Would you always...
Can you ask it when I finish talking?
No, because it's important. it's important. It's important.
No, because I'm going to lose my train of thought.
No.
Okay, right.
Okay, we're on the beat. We can't come back to it.
So if you make a mental note of where I am, I'm just about to finish.
Because we're going to talk about where you're at.
Okay, right.
Do you slice the beef before you stir fry it, or do you cook the beef and then slice it?
Funny you should ask. So anyway...
What did you do, Will?
This is what I was saying. The thing that I like about making a steak stir fry is that traditionally, if you're cooking a steak, everyone's such a dick about, this is how you cook a steak.
It's not pink.
There's fucking 200 ways to cook a steak. Yeah. Some of them are a bit shit. And I do see some people on Instagram cooking steaks. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? That's not how I do it. But I bet it still tastes nice. The way I like to do a steak normally is obviously get a good sear on it, maybe a little bit of oil on the steak, so on pepper. I put pepper on. Some people are like, it burns. I've never had that problem. Then I just baste the thing and then a bit of thyme, bit of rosemary. That's how I normally do a steak. Anyway, when I do steak noodles, what I like is that you've got this piece of steak. It's not necessarily a wicked one. Like, I wouldn't use like a nice ribeye or something like that unless it was about to go off and I didn't have a better idea. But just keep the fat on, slice it thin, and then get a wok really, really, really hot and throw it in with a tiny bit of like vegetable oil, salt, pepper, MSG. Then I set that aside and that's ready to go. But here's the thing.
I don't think I'm ready for this.
Sometimes before I fry it, I'll marinate it in a sauce. But I have decided in my noodle making stir fry business that I've been getting up to over the past 3 or so years, that the best way to do it is to fry the steak off, try and get a little bit of color on it, a bit of char, whatever. Not char, but you know what I mean, when it browns up and it's nice. Caramelization. Maillard reaction.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Get that to the side. And then I did spring onion whites, little bits of green beans chopped up, got rid of the stringy bits because they're gross, and some shiitake mushrooms, which I found in Tesco's of all places. Fried all that up in the sort of leftover steaky fat, threw the steak back in, and then I make my sauce. Because when you buy a little stir fry thing from the shop, it's like, here's the sauce, here's the mixed veg, bloody, bloody, blah, buy your chicken, do whatever. I've worked out the best way to do it is to do the sauce separately, fuck everything all together, get the noodles in, then get the sauce in, and everything just gets dressed like a big hot salad.
So I did honey.
I just cracked my little finger. I was really...
We got a camera on that
really
for sure. Wow. That's the problem with
Christ
rings, Will. You just got a bit
too
many.
Too much bling.
Problem with having a feeble little finger, actually. But I did, in a little bowl, I whisked together. I had some honey. I had 4 cloves of garlic grated and actually sustained a mega injury. Look at that. Look at that, boo-boo.
Your hands.
Grated my fingers.
Get this man some padded gloves.
I could commit crimes for the triad gangs if I wanted to, as long as I just use that finger, because I haven't got a full fingerprint at the moment. But it was honey, soy sauce, sriracha, hoisin sauce, which I thought would provide a sort of different kind of sweetness to the honey.
Gorgeous.
And it did, and also make things nice and brown.
Little five spice tingle, exactly.
And then four cloves of garlic actually grated in with a bit of my finger, and then I just mixed that all together, and then I served up George a bowl, my housemate. He's allergic to peanuts. So I served him up a bowl, and then I put a load of peanuts in it, and then I served up those bowls to me and Josh, and it was really good.
That sounds just a
basic little...
That does sound stunning.
Pretty good.
I just think there isn't anything wrong with a basic, stunning Chinese takeaway or Chinese takeaway dish.
Yeah, no.
Classics for a reason.
You can't go wrong. And also, I don't always do this, but you know the ready-made egg noodles that you get in Sainsbury's that are just good to go?
Yeah.
And they are like chow mein noodles. Yeah.
Yeah.
I use them and I love using them. Normally I use like the little plasticky udon ones but just
those
really
little
good.
Dried egg noodle nests just disintegrate in a second as well.
They bloody
those
do.
Bastards.
They ruin.
You never get a long noodle. No. It's always just tiny little pieces of noodle.
Fuck Sharwood's. Me and my homies hate Sharwood's.
Unless they sponsor the podcast, but we'll come to that.
Unless they sponsor the podcast. Hot take. Sharwood's egg noodle nests disintegrate and are bad. So, discuss.
I'm not commenting
what
on
that,
Sharwood.
What we should do is
Sharwood's.
We should send them that and then hold them to ransom. And saying,
we're going to release the tapes.
That's our new sponsorship model, is that we slag off companies unless they pay us.
But a couple of things we don't love on this podcast that we do want to sponsor
right now.
Us, that we will slag off unless they sponsor us, Bugatti Veyrons.
Too fast. I feel sick.
Too fast. 0-60, 2 seconds. I don't want one.
Have I told you about the time I got kicked off a go-karting track for driving dangerously slowly?
No.
That's funny. Could you tell us about that?
It's weirdly connected to my hot take.
I got kicked off a go-karting track for driving dangerously slowly. We went for my friend's 21st birthday to a go-karting track in Warrington.
As I recall, before you'd passed your driving test.
Before I'd passed my driving test, absolutely.
Because you were 25.
I was 25. We discussed this off air earlier. We went for a 21st birthday. We got a little minibus to Warrington from Manchester to go to the go-karting arena. And I was just having a nice leisurely drive. And I got flagged down. I was like, oh, something's wrong with my car. And they were like, no, you are driving dangerously slowly.
Taking the scenery in like the most inappropriate places.
Kicked you out the whip, grabbed you, put the hand in your pocket, took out your wallet, stole your Legoland Windsor driving license. Like, you're not having this. You don't deserve it.
I legitimately think that was my only driving experience prior to that moment.
Really? And that's a slow one, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I was good at that. Bad. I like that. And you are there for the scenic vibes in Legoland Windsor.
That's true.
I'm a huge
I actually never passed my Legoland Windsor driving test.
That is embarrassing.
Yeah, well, I didn't actually try.
He was wasted.
I'm pretty sure they give everyone the... I think what happened was...
You got a DUI. Come on, after you
No, I was traumatised from the climbing wall. So my, I used to do this thing when I was a kid where I'd always want to face my fear of heights, but was always really scared of heights. So I'd always do the climbing wall and then I'd get to the top and freeze. And it happened, I think, 5 times as a child. The worst time.
I think that's an inspirational story, though. At least you were trying as a little baby.
Yeah, and then getting to the top when you have to abseil down and I'd start crying. I'd be I was like 7 years old at my rugby.
Poor guy.
Me and the boys.
I was at the bottom.
Not a rugby.
Pussy!
I looked down, I saw a face of disappointment on my father. Just like, oh, fuck me. Please just jump down. I think in the end I did. And I got down. I was really upset.
Yeah. But you were facing your fears.
I was.
And that's important. And actually, that takes us on nicely to hot takes this week, because I'm facing my fear. A steaming hot pile of food-based takes. I'm drinking from a small glass of water. I fucking hate small glasses in an establishment to be used with water. I'm a thirsty boy.
Do you know those little trendy ones that are really wide?
I love them.
And low.
I love
them. Absolutely gorgeous.
All the best restaurants do them.
All the best restaurants
do
them.
Yeah, but they're not... I'm a guzzler.
Okay. Yeah, I am with you, Michael. I think they look really chic. The chic of the glass, the less practical
I'm a guzzler, right? If I'm drinking water at home, I'm drinking out of a pint glass. I've even got a Stein, like a huge...
Yeah, we have views on that as well,
that I stole from Berlin Airport just so I can have big Ribenas.
How does it fit in your cupboard? Where does it live in your house?
Wait, sorry, before we go on to that.
It fits in the wine glass section of the cupboard.
Me and Cam have had many arguments about... giant fucking glasses in the cupboard and a lot of branded beer glasses that you know don't have a place in the aesthetic of
Stella. Glasses are really bad, and we've done stuff with Stella's, and I bet they sent you the glasses,
the tall
as well.
Girls,
fit in cupboards.
I have kept a couple of them though.
Glasses must stack. If you leave them, if you leave one in the house, I want it to look classy. I don't want it to look shit. I feel like a Stella glass might just look a little bit out of place. Yeah. Next to your beautiful house plant.
It's more like, okay, so the one that Cam leaves around all the time that really fucks me off is one of those festival plastic ones. Do you know the ones I mean?
That's
the ones
bad.
That you reuse.
We're not at uni anymore,
the
mate.
The ones you reuse at a festival, big plastic cup.
No,
and that is the one that he leaves everywhere, and it's a real eyesore.
I can't lie, that's an ick.
I actually do a whole episode on this in my home decor.
And that's the one he chooses in the whole house.
The ones that have... The only one of them that I've got, because I thought it was really cool at the time, is the Palace Stella one.
Yeah.
But the stuff's all come off it. And I'm sure it's been binned now.
Do you know what I am actually thinking of doing, though, which is maybe me contributing to the ick?
Oh, no.
For my wedding, creating wedding cups. Because you have to hire the glasses anyway.
Oh, tell me.
Why not create a wedding favour?
A plastic one.
With a cool graphic on it that's a big
The ones that move.
Cup.
The ones that move.
With
the
graphics maybe my that face.
Yes.
Yeah.
Woo, woo, woo.
Yes. Not Coombs.
just me. Just you.
You should put a little message in the bottom when they finish their drink. Little message at the bottom of the glass. I don't know what it's going to be. I'll
saying,
leave that to you.
Yeah, I'll...
Yeah, cheers.
I'm going to spitball these ideas.
How about that?
Cheers to love.
Plastic...
I'm not doing that.
That's... Wow.
No one saw my ironic face. I didn't mean it.
Would be funny. That would be funny. But obviously, Michael and I aren't invited to the wedding.
Yeah, so yeah, that's fine.
Invites haven't gone out yet, guys. There's plenty of time.
Sports Direct mugs versus plastic festival cups. Are you?
Sports Direct mugs are great for big hot chocolate.
They can get to
So you keep that.
No one can drink that amount of liquid whilst it's still the appropriate temperature.
I just think storage.
Which is why I said hot chocolate, because hot chocolate, when it goes cold, is still nice.
Chocolate milkshake. It's just a chalky milkshake.
It's just a chalky milkshake. It transitions halfway through the...
With some solid marshmallows.
Has anyone ever made a hot chocolate with Nesquik?
Not for a while.
But you have done that?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think I've ever
I have.
And I want to.
Why are they, you know, separate brands for cold chalky milk and hot chalky milk?
You're damn right.
Capitalism.
Surely that's the same thing.
That's why, mate.
You say that, but I've definitely used Cadbury's Dairy Milk hot chocolate
to make,
powder, to make a milkshake.
I haven't done that. I'm so by the letter.
Mm. I reckon there might be something to do with like the milk powder that does better under heat. Do you know what I mean?
We're going to have to put this to the test, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone get me the ingredients list of both of those objects and I'll read it.
Michael's going to do his homework.
Scientist Michael.
He loves doing homework.
I'm going to batch cook me some hot chocolate and I'm going to enjoy it for weeks to come.
Yeah. No, I think actually just to sum up your small glass situation, we've gone off on a tangent. It's what we do. It's a podcast. What more do you want? It's a conversation. It's how it works. I just want to say with the small glasses, I think they're all right in nice restaurants, but actually under any other circumstances, the appropriate amount of water to be drinking is in pints.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Although having said that, I did make Cam chuck away our biggest glasses when we moved house last because they didn't stack. And it was a bitch in the cupboards. So I think there's a happy in between. You want a glass that's stackable,
yeah,
but still plentiful, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
You can put that at the bottom of your cup in your wedding.
Stackable, but plentiful.
Stackable, but plentiful.
It's nicer than cheers to love, isn't
I
it?
I like the idea of at the end of your wedding, you going around and collecting all the cups for reuse. Like, don't leave. That's mine.
If you give it back, I'll give you a quid.
Yeah, you should do that. Anyway, that's my hot take. I've got more, but I don't know if any of you have any hot takes.
I've got a really good one for you.
Go on.
I don't know if it is good, but it's one that
I want scandal.
I feel it acutely.
Scandal.
When all is said and done, there's only one dinner that I ever really want to eat, and that is the best meal in the world, jacket potato with beans and cheese.
I would say
I'm looking at Will because he's going to be really upset
that's
about
it.
That.
You would honestly eat that every
I
day.
I strongly believe that that is the best and most comforting dinner in the world. And most days, you know, I could be at the nicest restaurant in the world and really,
is there anything
I would rather be on my sofa.
That? Like what cheese, what beans, like is that, are you quite specific? Or
okay,
be like
so.
Calf, kind of like.
It could be calf, plate. But in my dream world, it's a medium-sized jacket potato, not a massive one like they do in the cask, because that's a bit much for me. Mm-hmm. Rubbed in olive oil, covered in salt, roasted at about 200 degrees Celsius fan for an hour.
Okay.
I want it to be crispy. And I want the inside of the potato to be really soft. I then cut it open in quarters, not just in half.
So you're making a little
I'm making a little cross in the top and I'm
petals.
Pushing the sides
petals,
in.
Yeah.
So it kind of erupts in the top like a little volcano. And then I'm shoving an obnoxiously big knob of butter in there and I'm smushing that in. Then grated mature cheddar. Then baked beans.
What would it grade on a sort of,
on the Cathedral City scale?
Yeah.
Probably four.
Four,
okay. Yeah, I want it to be sharp.
Yeah.
It needs to be sharp to counteract the sweetness of the beans. And beans-wise...
And that's...
They've been cooked down.
And this is where I've lost Will. new listeners may not be aware of this. Will...
I just don't love beans. I've got to a point now...
You don't cook them properly,
no,
mate.
I've faced my fear. I've got to a point where I can cook them properly and have them like... with...
Pimp them up a bit.
With like a fry-up or whatever and I can tolerate them, but... I really don't think I'll ever be able to do jacket potato and beans.
Have you had a Branston bean?
No.
Just before we go on to Branston beans, on our sort of, when we're huge and we go on our sort of like, we go out into the world and we do crazy shit, like we're going to go to Morocco, we're going to take you to a climbing wall and make you
feed
eat beans,
you baked beans
while
and
you
then
abseil
down it.
I also have a fear of hot food on a cold day.
Steve, write that down.
Outside,
we're going to Legoland on a cold day with beans.
Outside, eating really hot food on a really cold day makes me feel fucking weird.
Steam coming off of it.
Yeah, it like gets my face. It makes me feel weird.
Interesting.
So, beans. So your hot take, right?
My hot take is the best meal in the world is jacket potato, butter, grated mature cheddar, and Branston beans.
You're really? Obviously wrong, and I don't Branston think that beans. We need to even discuss this.
What's
okay,
yours,
what
Will?
Is your, okay, in terms of like easy
okay,
dinner.
For a start, it's almost impossible
to
pick. It's almost impossible to pick what the best dinner in the world is. It's like when people go, what's your death row meal? You're like, going to say a different thing
different
on every different day.
Yeah.
It's like 9 times out of 10, you're going to say the mushroom anti dumplings from
but
Mango,
if you
too,
had
of course.
To. If you had to.
Yeah, if you had to, but that's what I'm saying. You're going to choose a different one every day.
But yeah,
I don't think that you would choose. Baked beans, jacket potatoes, and cheese with a huge knob of butter, probably salt and pepper in there as well, I imagine. White pepper.
And
no,
cooked at 200 degrees fan.
No white pepper.
I put enough cheese on there that she's doing the jobby.
Okay, all right. Airy muff. But yeah, no, I just don't think you're going to say that every day.
I think I would say it most days.
Okay. Yeah, how many
days?
Okay,
the other one that's a contender for me.
Okay.
Similar theme, admittedly. Bangers and mash and baked beans.
Okay, now.
Bangers, mash,
stop saying baked beans. Why do they have to feature?
That was interesting because mine's a butter chicken curry with baked beans.
That's mine. Mine's actually an omelette and chips. It's not.
Oh, it's not. What is it? Go on. Gun to your head.
I'm talking about nostalgic comfort.
You know my nostalgic comfort.
You've had a bit of a rough day. You're a bit tired. What's the one you're going for?
To be fair, it will be spaghetti hoops on toast with loads of cheese.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah. So similar really? Vibe, just for the bean haters.
Mine's actually baked beans on toast with cheese.
Really?
Yeah,
lovely piece of bread. Although, a bit of Marmite and butter on the toast.
Shout out to... why am I doing a shout out to fucking Heinz? I was going to say...
Shout out to this little
Heinz
brand
tomato
Heinz.
Soup as well with like really buttery bread.
Yeah.
And bread has to be bread though.
Dunked into it.
Yes, or just fuck loads of cheese grated on top.
Also that.
Apparently you can poach an egg in it.
In what?
I'm quite Heinz scared of poached
too.
Eggs,
no
so I'd rather
way.
Not.
Fair enough.
I feel about poached eggs how you feel about baked beans.
Really?
Truly.
No.
Yeah.
No, you'd sooner eat an Eggs Benedict than I'd eat beans on toast.
Absolutely
surely.
Not.
Really?
Absolutely
wait, really?
Not.
I thought you just thought they were pompous. I didn't think you hated
them. No, I don't
them.
Like them.
I think really? Poached eggs poached are a bit eggs, stupid.
They make me feel so supremely icked out. Oh. I cannot tell you. Texturally, they are so challenging to me. And they just taste so eggy.
I've got a hot take.
Go on.
It's actually inspired by a tweet that I saw from Mr. Lucas Oakley the other day, food writer
one
for
one of my good friends and
someone that looks a bit like you.
Yes, have I told you that I once got recognised as Lucas from Mob at a festival? And I was like, you're so bloody close.
Yeah, you do look, you've got so to say, it's the same sort of like short hair beard combination.
Yeah, we once were on a story. On
you both
the
like a fleece.
We both like a fleece.
You both like a fleece.
And we had a couple of replies to the story saying both of you, I thought you were both the same person. So this is
I can see. He's got a slightly better beard.
Yeah, that's okay.
Whoa.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, it's slightly more.
Whoa,
it's got a bit more crimp to
fired.
It. But anyway, Lucas tweeted something that really resonated with me the other day because I'm a huge fan of white pepper. And actually, I was listening to, obviously, one of my biggest heroes in life is Steve Coogan. Alan Partridge is a huge inspiration on things that I find funny. Yeah, you'd never be able to know. But Steve Coogan on the Off Menu podcast was talking about how much he likes white pepper.
Yes.
White pepper, for me, especially as of the last year, I really, really think it's criminally underrated.
It's excellent.
White pepper on a sandwich, on a tomato.
Yes.
Right, miles better than black pepper. I like black pepper on a tomato, but it just...
Could you put it in the grinder? Like, could you just go...
I've
actually
never seen
guy.
A white pepper corn.
Yeah,
I've never
it
seen
kind
it
of always comes ground,
weirdly.
Doesn't it? But I've got some little salt and pepper shakers, and obviously you don't want to put black pepper in a... shaker because it feels weird, so I've got the little white pepper thing, but
like
all
a
this
calf, gorgeous.
Exactly.
What's the difference?
Exactly.
I don't even know if I know what white pepper tastes like.
White pepper is stronger than black
white
pepper.
White pepper is
it tastes just like pepper?
No, it's
got
this
a
is a real
taste.
Test on my creative writing skills. Why is it different to black pepper? Black pepper feels more peppery, and white pepper is more like a spice.
Oh,
I would say
a bit more.
It's I think it's more pungent than black pepper.
I'd agree, and I think also that's partly due to the fact that it's usually much more finely ground. And
it
gets,
like
gets up your nose a bit. Yeah,
would that be the word.
Gets up your nose a bit
it
more.
It feels a bit more floral.
Okay,
not I quite as fragrant as a Teller cherry peppercorn, but it's,
too bloody right.
They're very fragrant peppercorns.
Wow.
But basically, I mean, you can. It's not super.
How dare you, Will? That's ridiculous.
It's not super controversial, but my hot take is that white pepper is really, really underrated. And I think that. I know. You never think of black pepper as mad fancy, but actually, there's something.
It is a bit.
White
pepper's freshly cracked.
White pepper's
black pepper.
The underdog, right?
It is.
You wouldn't put white pepper on your pasta, right? But like when you season a bit of meat. White pepper, I find, is often a better...
I was thinking something like mashed potato, where you want it to be pure.
Yeah.
Mm.
And
also...
just creamy white colour. You don't
no,
have any
you don't,
cracked
yeah,
black
yeah.
there.
You want it sort of through it. You know, you don't want to have a little... But the what actually really made me think of white pepper is because my housemate George... I think it's George. It might be
what,
Josh.
What, his name?
No, it's
you need.
Well, I've got two housemates, but fucking ages actually. But it's one of them. I think it's George, but he when he has spaghetti hoops or baked beans, absolutely fucking peppers them, if you will, in white pepper. Has to be white pepper,
wow.
And I think It's He's and got I've you into I've it. Adopted that. If I have spaghetti hoops on toast, it goes toast, butter, spaghetti hoops, white pepper, cheese.
Okay,
that's it. Oh, and a Ooh. Bit of salt on top as well. Even wow. the cheese is quite salty.
I have a related question, because I think that when the auditions were being held for Salt and Pepper's Place, you know, the two things that will go on the table.
The great auditions of 1936.
God, I remember it well. Yeah. Salt, obviously, it just stormed through. There was like, you know, it was like Alexandra Burke when she won X Factor. Like, there was no questions asked.
Black Pepper was put in One Direction for a brief spell.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Who do you
remember
think
salt
was in...
And pepper?
I mean, it's perfect. Who was in One Direction with Black Pepper trying to prove... Because Black Pepper is Harry Styles. Cream rises to the top over time, and it's on the table. I think that there might be some major players.
Chili flakes.
Do you think there's a world where there's a parallel universe where it's salt
okay.
and chili
flakes? Okay, are we talking so. How many members of One Direction are there?
Five, right. four.
That's
so
a
we're
stupid
talking
question.
Now none. What? How many? Do you think I know how many members?
Before okay. or after Zayn left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or now?
Well, there's the one that I don't really fucking. With, yeah. So you got salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But salt's in.
That's it.
What culture are we doing this in? In the UK?
Yeah, UK.
Okay. So
I think, yeah, I mean, look, we're fairly flakes. Multicultural with our spices, I'd say, yeah. you know, with what we like.
Cumin's a bit of a multitasker. She
oh,
goes
no,
in lots of things.
I wouldn't want that.
We can't be saying
sashimi
togarashi, can we? Because that's a bit of a...
We could.
What about salt and MSG?
Yes.
That would
yeah,
be big.
MSG, lovely.
Yeah. So MSG, like chili flakes. I don't think cumin can make it because that's not. It's gonna. It might work.
Salt, pepper, and white pepper probably exist there as kind of different.
Yeah,
characters,
they're different things.
I would say.
Yeah.
Do you know what this is so fucking middle class.
bring it bloody on. I'm going skiing next week. So let's do it.
What's the name of the spice company that do the little ones in the blue pots and they're really good?
Rooted.
They do ancho chili powder, and that I think they do it a lot in Turkish cuisine. Like you'll have like ancho chili flakes on yogurt or on things like mm-hmm. that, and that is great. Like really, really good as just like a sprinkle on yeah. something. Better than pepper and things
right,
like
so
that.
They do a house blend rooted spices. I can't remember exactly what's in it, so.
I feel like chip seasoning. Have you had like, you know, a classic chip seasoning?
Oh, chip That's seasoning. Good. They used to have it in Chester's Chips in Manchester.
Really?
My favourite night out.
Is that the chicken one? Chicken
it's
salt?
It's sort of like, sort of that
it's
similar
kind of
vibe.
Like paprika, salt. I actually did an article in the Tab many years ago. Really? Looking down what was in Chester's chicken.
It was weird because it was salt? Comparing Louis Tomlinson with chip seasoning. That was the whole thing. I read
was
it.
Was it?
I read it.
He's so not chip seasoning. Sorry, Louis Tomlinson.
Louis Tomlinson.
Did you
worst.
Write for the Tab? Did you ever do Fittest Rasher?
No, I just did food stuff.
Did you write for
Weird.
The Tab?
Weird.
No. I was a big reader.
No, sorry. I meant when you were Lucas.
Intrepid's small group adventures take the guesswork out of going somewhere new. Choose from over 1,000 trips to more than 100 countries at intrepidtravel.com.
This feature's brought to you with our friends at Intrepid. Good trips only.
It's the food trip of the week.
Where are we going?
India. You've been, Soph?
I have indeed. I've been twice.
I thought you were going to say India, but you didn't. It was just
a
noise.
Huge
just a
missed
noise.
Opportunity.
An excited noise, but...
Did you eat good food in India?
So much good food. A ridiculous amount of good food. The street food in India is crazy. And the further south you get, the better it got, in my opinion.
How many vendors are there? Like how many vendors per square meter are we talking about?
It depends on where you are. It's quite a big place, Michael.
But street, you know, if I walk
Delhi.
Down...
Delhi. Oh, there's quite a lot in Delhi. But again, depends on where you are.
Every 10 seconds of walking, every minute?
No, it's more kind of in kind of zones.
Zones.
It's like there's normal streets where there's no street food, okay. And then there's street food in other places.
Why? Like iconic dishes like kachori, kulfi, chai, paratha, chaat, thali as well?
Ding, ding, ding.
All of those?
Maybe not all in Delhi, but yeah, all of the above. Have you had chai before?
What, as in like chai?
I think tea. You mean tea. Because chai is actually... The word for tea.
Did you know that naan just means bread? So when you say naan and bread.
Yes, I did because I went to the Indian the other day and I said, could I have a naan bread? And the waiter turned around to me and went, no, you can have a naan. You're going to ask me for bread or toast bread or bread toast? No, you're not. You can have a naan. It means bread. And then he spat at me.
Will, I think that sounds like it's your fault for being insensitive.
Insensitivity is not the problem. Ignorance is. And I actually think that we could all learn a lot from that.
So, okay. Well, why don't we take this moment together to, as a listenerhood and a presenterhood, I guess that's what we are, to never ever say the words naan bread or chai tea again. Because... No. It's offensive.
I haven't
quite
been doing
frankly.
It for years.
Best Indian bread, go.
None.
Paratha from the freezer.
Paratha, absolutely. Not. I mean, I love
Hang
the freezer
on
ones. I love a fresh
Whoa.
One.
Whoa. Whoa.
A paratha.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
From the
you
freezer.
You asked that right after we said we weren't going to say naan bread anymore. I thought that you were just fishing for me to say naan.
Okay.
And then Michael comes in with his frozen parathas.
Delicious.
I'm sure the ones in India are nice and the
Ask
frozen
me
ones too.
Ask me my favourite Indian bread.
Will, what's your favourite Indian
cheesy
bread?
Cheesy keema naan.
Cheesy keema naan. You can get that good shit in India.
Really?
Yeah.
Cheesy keema naan.
Do you know, I was on a roadside. I can't remember where we were driving to and from, but we stopped in a service station and I got one of the most delicious bits of food I've ever had in my life. A cheesy chicken tikka naan.
Oh, ah! That's made me upset and angry in all the good ways.
And yeah, so excited.
Say, that's made me
aroused. So excited. And parathas, I mean, yeah, in the UK, we love our frozen parathas, yeah, which I back as being one of the most important things you can have in your freezer at any one time.
Agreed.
But in India, my God, they are good.
Mm. I think I'm going to have to go.
You are going to have to go.
We should probably go.
We should go.
On a trip with Intrepid.
Michael, what is it that you like most about Intrepid food tours that are to India?
I have a couple of favourite things, Will. Number one is the range of delicacies that you'll try whilst you're there.
Which might include what?
Kulfi, chai, paratha. Is it paratha? Paratha.
Cam says paratha.
Paratha. We'll go with that.
And he's from Nottingham, so he'd know.
And he's from Nottingham, so he would know.
And many other delicious cuisines. I mean, it sounds like Sophie's probably the person to tell you more about them, because I don't
You
really...
are the only person in this room that's been to India.
It's true, I am. And I did eat a lot of really good stuff there. I didn't really eat in people's homes, though.
Really?
And that is something that I would have liked to do.
That is
I
cool.
think you can actually do that, just to plug the guys over at Intrepid, sponsoring the podcast. I think you can actually do that in a slightly uninvasive way with Intrepid, because...
They're a B Corp.
Oh, that's
good. So they make sure that everyone that's involved in the trip is treated really well and no one's exploited. So it's a...
Stunning. Also, I feel like the range of food that you get in India is so vast. And with Intrepid, you get to travel...
Plant-based.
A variety of areas.
Delhi to Goa. On the subject
Kerala.
Of that, one of the things, what you can do in the trip, is actually a plant-based food course.
Oof.
Which actually sort of includes everyone, really, doesn't it? Because some people eat meat, some people eat fish.
True.
Everyone really eats plants.
All the plant-based Indian food is so delicious. Mm. I really think that if you're talking cuisines that are easy to make plant-based, Indian is definitely
I've heard that a large percentage of Indian cuisine is plant-based.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But what if I'm totally uninterested in food?
No, you're going to have to be a bit interested in food because there's a lot of food involved. But you can't eat all day, can you? Because when you're not eating, you want to be seeing, Soph, don't you?
I'll give it a bloody try.
What do you want to look at?
Well, you go to the Taj Mahal
in
Agra.
That's one of the things.
On the trip.
Very nice. You go there with Intrepid.
How was that when you went? Did you go?
Oh, bloody... So good I went twice.
Did you get a picture with you going, like, with your fingers, like, above it, trying to make it look like you were holding it at the top?
I gave him a best pop. Don't think it was very good. I also had loads of people taking photos with me, so I felt like a celebrity. We've been munching some vada pav in the corner, I reckon.
What's that? Oh, I know what that is. It's the potato thing that Seema made us when she came on the podcast
deep fried potato in a bun.
It's deep fried potato in a bun. Michael, what were you saying there? Can we just go back?
It doesn't matter, but I was going to say that you can also see Old Delhi, Jamma Masjid, and the Amber Fort in Jaipur, all of which are beautiful because I've just Googled them and they are.
Oh. Can confirm. Gorgeous.
Nice. So that's the food trip of the week, is it?
And I'm starving.
I want to go to India now.
So we're actually going on a food trip very soon. It will be the food trip of the week, but it's not the food trip of this week, but it will be the future trip of food of the week.
But it will just be for 2 days, not quite a week. It will be the back end of a week and will be the bigger food trip of that week.
And where?
Morocco.
Morocco.
Somewhere I've been before.
I've never been.
I cannot wait.
You're going to show us the sights.
I shall be your tour guide.
We're going to have an actual tour guide.
What are we doing?
You and the tour guide.
I'll be that guy that will be on the trip. Like, with the tour guide will be like telling us about this. I'll be like, oh, actually, that's not the way, not the way I did it when I was there.
You're going to mansplain our Moroccan tour guide.
Absolutely, yes.
Brilliant.
Absolutely, yes.
Will we be recording live audio whilst Will is mansplaining? Yes, we will be coming live and direct from Morocco.
We will be podcasting with mouths full of tagine.
I want a Britney mic as I walk around.
Oh, you have to Britney mic. Exactly. You just have to.
You'll need a Britney mic.
Will, what are we going to be doing?
Well, I think that we'll be visiting the markets, I'd imagine.
And you're a brilliant
tour guide. Seeing things and smelling things and touching
some
things.
Some spices. Some...
I think we are actually going up into the Atlas Mountains.
We are going to the Atlas Mountains.
I, for one, cannot wait. Mm. I've got my swimming trunks ready.
Are we going swimming?
It will be cold.
How cold?
Well, we're going in January, you burk.
Yeah, but it's Morocco.
Morocco's warm in January, isn't it?
I reckon, like, no.
Can
eight,
someone confirm?
15 degrees?
Maybe not in the Atlas Mountains.
No thumbs up.
It's not warm. We went in February last year and it was fucking
I'll bring my
cold.
Wetsuit then. Bloody hell.
You could bring your wetsuit, but you've probably got to actually think about the way you're going to pack for this. I mean, I don't know what luggage we're going to be allowed.
I'm leaving room to buy loads of bits.
Nice.
Personally.
Okay, so
no wetsuits coming out with
no
me.
No room for
I'm
a wetsuit.
I'm going to bring one outfit.
Will we be...
Suitcase empty. Plates.
Should we get matching pyjamas?
Oh, yes.
100%.
Nice.
Absolutely.
We are recording a special episode of A Bit of a Mouthful live from the country itself, Morocco. We literally cannot stop talking about beautiful locations because next week, the food trip of the week is Italy.
Oh yeah.
A lot of nice places in Italy.
100%.
A lot of them. You've got what you've got? You've got Rome.
Come on, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it, Will. This what? Is next week's stuff.
Oh, I thought we were just going to recite places in Italy. I mean,
no, can't just say Italy. Italy.
It's enormous.
It's a varied place.
It is. So next week we shall be talking about the variety that is Italy. If you go to intrepidtravel.com, you'll find over 1,000 trips to more than 100 countries and not just food trips either.
That's this week's food trip with Intrepid Travel. Good trips only.
Intrepid's small group adventures take the guesswork out of going somewhere new. Choose from over 1,000 trips to more than 100 countries at intrepidtravel.com.
It's time for the crunch.
It's crunch time.
Crunch me.
Are you ready for crunch time?
I feel so crunchy.
Okay.
I can't wait.
Well, I've got...
This is the second crunchiest I've felt this
That sounds like
year.
An empty crunch. Where's the crunch
Yeah, I
at?
Can't lie. I got sent these quite a while ago and they were really, really nice. And I was thinking, what should I bring for crunch time today? And I thought, there's a couple left.
Wait, so you had a couple left? It isn't like you were walking over and you're snacking.
No. I've been eating these over and over
again. I can't have a half-empty packet.
A couple each or... How many
I'm
bites?
Not sure.
There's a good. I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to pull them into your hands.
Okay.
Put your hands out.
Eee, this is so fun.
This is terrifying.
Oh wow, it's gone all over the table.
And now time.
Oh wow, it's tiny. Okay.
Oh my god.
Okay.
That was there's smaller than I.
Don't smell it. Look at it.
Whoa! What
it's
the hell?
Rabbit
are
shit.
Amazing.
No, this looks actually.
These.
No, wait a second.
Yeah,
what?
So it's cocoa dusted. Peanuts from Manny Live. Manny Live make the best peanut butter. That's a fact.
They do.
There's no
true
one that,
story.
No one that really comes close. Sorry to all you other nutty butter people. but they sent me these a while ago. They've started doing actual nuts. And these ones are dusted with. Just put it in your mouth. I know you want to.
I do. I've been
go get it in.
I've been holding like
these,
this.
But these ones are they're dusted with cocoa and they're really really good.
Mm.
They're like. It's not really a savoury snack at all, but it's certainly...
That's a cinema snack.
It's like it is a good... sweet and salty.
That's a cinema snack.
I want
snack.
That in my pick and mix.
Yeah.
Mm. They're really good.
Oh, I love that.
What are they saying that they've done on the packet? They normally say that they've done something special.
It's salty and sweet on the outside.
It says that they
it's
go...
not just cocoa.
I'll put that
There's
in with my popcorn. I'll put it in with my popcorn. That's
they
oh
go
my
great
God.
According to Manny Life. I believe
Mr.
the gentleman's
Manny.
Called Stu. Did you know that Manny is actually the Argentinian word for peanut?
No, that's like new of
it. It is, but that does sound like something I'd make up as well. apparently, these go great with coffee, ice cream crushed on top, and brownies.
Oh,
and
popcorn.
They make the best peanut butter, and actually, these things...
They're so good.
Really good.
He can't be stopped. He just loves them.
The other weird chocolate-coated snack I really love? Apart from rabbit poo, which is delectable.
Lovely.
Chocolate-coated love corn. Have you had that?
No.
Ooh, really?
Oh, my God. Love corn. The crispy little corn snacks.
Chocky corn.
Milk chocolate-coated love corn.
Sounds pretty nice.
Holy shit. So
they've got a decent crunch as well.
They have got... Yeah, oh, yeah, sorry. You should probably crunch into the microphone. Yeah, they have a peanut crunch. And they actually also, not to bum Manny Life too much, but they do their own dry roasted peanuts with salt now.
I've never had them.
They're really, really good.
My God.
I genuinely think... I mean, look.
They know their way around a peanut.
They know their way around a peanut. People aren't doing enough with peanuts at the moment. I've been saying that for years.
You know their dark roast peanut butter?
The best peanut butter of all time.
That was an accident, I think.
Really?
Yeah, they accidentally left it on for too long.
Allegedly.
And then they roasted it for too long, and then they ate it, and they were like, so I bet those are the ones that fell on the floor. And then they covered them in cocoa. Yeah.
They're like, oh, what was that spice on your shoe?
I honestly think that in the last 3 years, I've probably got through 8 or 9 kilos of their...
It's so good that it literally is like reinvented butter in my mind.
Yeah.
It sounds like an advert. We're being so... Yeah. Well,
I know.
It's
weird because I don't... Because normally I'll bring something on that's like, this is just something nice that I've had. But these, you know, they are... It is like a branded thing. But... And they did send it me, but I didn't say I was going to say anything about it on the podcast. I just think they're really nice. I think they're really good. Chomp and chomp and smell. What have you got for us here, Soph?
Well, as if things couldn't get any better.
I see crispy onions.
You see crispy onions. You see basil.
What I smell is just great.
So here we have a pork larb, or larp, or however you might... People say it different ways. I think it's technically the national dish of Laos, but you also get it in Thailand. It's basically any kind of meat. It's pork normally, but you can do it with anything. A kiln. And it's smoking goat. They
is
do
there
with
basil
lots.
In that?
There is. It's meant to be Thai basil, but my shop subbed it out. So make it work with regular. They're quite similar.
Maybe. Are they really? Yeah. They taste quite similar.
Yeah. They don't look similar, but they taste similar.
It's a bit more kind of like menthol-y Thai basil, I would say. But yeah, this one is a pork larb. We've got... It's not meant to be crispy, the pork. Some recipes even call for it to be boiled and then mix other things.
Rice. Is there rice in there?
There is. So yeah, the key ingredient is toasted rice powder.
Yeah.
So you basically fry literally uncooked rice till it's
powder.
Really golden, and then you crush it up in a pestle and mortar, and that's like the dominant flavour.
Oh, wow.
You wouldn't know what it is, but that's the key spice.
I'll look out for it.
Yeah, see if you can figure it out. We've also got chilli, spring onions, mint. Coriander sometimes, but I didn't have any in the fridge, so we don't have any coriander.
Okay.
We've got fish sauce.
I love fish sauce.
And yeah, crispy onions.
People get a bit funny about fish sauce, and I always find it's because it smells so much worse than it tastes.
I think it's
the taste of it adds so much to stuff.
It's one of those things that people say, oh, I love this, what's in it? And you're like, fish sauce. And I'm like, oh, I don't like fish sauce.
Yeah.
What's that? Made of fish guts. Yeah, get over it.
Delicious.
Yeah, it's bloody lovely.
Right. We've lettuce
got some,
bits. Is it?
Oh, yeah, there's also loads of lime with it.
Yeah, line me up.
And you eat it kind of with lettuce.
It's
cups.
Very green.
It's health. Look, it's keto.
It looks healthy.
It does look healthy.
Willie, after you.
Okay, I'm going to scoop in.
He's taken he's taken all the meat.
He's taken all the meat and he's putting it in his
putting in his mouth.
And he's chewing it.
His
eyes are moving. He's smiling a bit.
I can't tell if he's happy or sad. He's thumbs up. He's sad. He's a sad, sad boy.
Michael, here you go.
Do I get to try?
Hell yeah.
It's like passing the bong at a party when you're 15, isn't it?
Right, mate.
I never did that.
No, I'm joking.
We don't do drugs, mate.
I'm joking.
That's an Oxford thing.
Yeah,
that's lovely.
Oh, I watched that film the other day.
Salt Man.
Yeah, what did you think?
I haven't seen it yet.
Want
to see it? No spoilers, please.
Absolute
chaos.
Do
you know what Cam calls Jacob Elordi?
Jacob the Naughty.
Sexy.
He calls him Jacob O'Lordy.
Because he's sexy.
He is sexy.
Although Barry Keoghan or whatever his name is, Keoghan?
Also sexy.
I think it's Keoghan. Mm. I heard Jacob O'Lordy say in an interview.
Sorry, let's talk about this. It's salty. Mm-hmm. It's fatty. It's nice.
It's a bit sour.
It's got some sourness from the lime. I got a bit of the chili. And it's quite fresh, even though it is fatty. It's a bit fatty.
Yeah.
But it's lovely.
It's all the components you need in a good meal. I think the best larb I've had in London is at Smoking Goat. Are you familiar with Smoking Goat?
I am very familiar with Smoking Goat. The home to the finest chicken wings in London, actually, as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hard agree.
Sophie, you did it again. That's
fabulous.
So tasty. I think
Sophie,
that,
you're so good at cooking. You should have like a cookbook or something.
Oh, that would be so good.
What
would it be called?
Tucking in pre-order now. Release date, 13th of June.
13th of June. Oh my God, it's a day before my sister's birthday.
Day before my dad's it's birthday.
You know what to get her.
I do.
You must. Yeah, it's my dad's birthday also the day after.
Well, he'll definitely be getting a copy of that.
You bloody bet you.
From me, weirdly.
Oh, yeah, I'll get one for your sister. Secret Santa.
Oh, perfect.
Secret Santa accepts all the presents are tucking in by social wires.
Sophie, this really is delicious.
Will, you're...
I'm very
he's
glad.
Hogging it. He's hogging it. Please don't have it back.
You could do it with like just minced chicken as well.
You do it with minced chicken. You could do it. I mean, I wouldn't do it with minced turkey because I don't like turkey. But if
what
you
is
wanted
listen
to, you
right?
Could.
Well, this is the second time I've heard you in as many days say
slag off turkey.
Yeah. What is your problem? A good,
the food,
a nicely cooked turkey is really good.
I just think it's never as good as the as a chicken.
Okay, let's wrap this up. It's all the Woody and Michael and their gut every tip so vital.
That tastes great,
but it's a bit of a mouthful.
Well, we've chatted enough shit today, I think. We've eaten some larb, haven't we, Soph?
Delicious.
Oh, yes, that larb was very nice.
My belly is full with that larb.
Yummy in my tum-tum.
And now we're going to eat loads of dumplings.
We are off for our...
You think it's all about the dumplings, but, oh, it's all about the turnips.
Oh,
it's all about the deep-fried turnips.
Really. The good thing about going out for dinner with Sophie and Will is I don't even need to look at the menu because they provide the goodness.
We got it covered.
We got it covered.
We'll see you next week. Lots of love.
Like, subscribe. Bye.
Bye.
Don't talk with your mouth full unless you're talking about food, in which case it's useful. And that's just what we're about to do. It's all the Woody and Michael and their culinary tips are vital.
That tastes great,
but it's a bit of a mouthful.
A Bit of a Mouthful is super proud to partner with Intrepid. Intrepid's small group food trips connect you with a local leader and a group of folks into food and travel, just like you.
It's not just food trips either. Check out their full range of trips at intrepidtravel.com.
Intrepid, good trips only.